Take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. There are some that believe in what we call lordship salvation. It means that God will save you if you commit your life to Him in service. They do not say that it is works for salvation. They say it's just all by grace, but if you don't serve, you're not saved. Because they believe that if you really are saved, you will serve. That is not true. And therefore, we believe that's works for salvation, because then you look at your life to prove whether you're saved or not, instead of looking at the scriptures and taking what God says as the security or the evidence that you need to have that confidence. So if you look there in the book of John in chapter 10, there is a verse that many have problem with, and this is the verse. See there in verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And they follow me. So therefore, if you are his sheep, you follow him. And if you don't follow him, that means you're not his sheep. That's just a good logical conclusion that many come to. And so the question is, well, how would you explain that? Do you or do you not have to follow? And if you have to follow him, that means that God will give you eternal life after you follow. Because you see there in verse 28, and I give them eternal life. Well, he gives them eternal life after, in verse 27, after they follow. So many people say, okay, well, you have to follow the Lord. And that always applies to living your life, committing your life. Christ must be the Lord and Master of your life in order for you to be saved. And if you do, God will give you eternal life. So that seems like that makes good sense. But if it is true, well, then if you don't follow, it would mean you're not a sheep. And if you don't follow, it means you're not saved. And if you don't follow, you don't get eternal life, and you don't get to go to heaven. So when do you really know when you're saved? Do you have to wait until you have finished following in order to get it? Well, then you can't know now that you have it, because you haven't followed yet. It's not through. There's a problem. So how can you be sure 100% you're going to heaven if you have to follow the Lord to get the free gift of eternal life? You see the problem? How many can at least see the problem? Good. How many of you are still sleeping? You should be able to see the problem. There is a problem here. So I want to try to see if I can help solve the problem. So a couple of things I wanted to mention to you, because there's some people who read this, and this is what they say. One of the men, James Montgomery Boyce, made this statement. He says, if we are not listening to Christ and are not following him in faithful obedience, we are not his. That's a well-known, famous man who wrote something. If you're not following, you're not his. Another man by the name of John MacArthur said this. Faith obeys. Unbelief rebels. The fruit of one's life reveals whether a person is a believer or an unbeliever. The fruit of one's life reveals whether a person is a believer or an unbeliever. John MacArthur is known all over the world. He's on the radio station that I'm on. He was on when Dr. Hank Lindstrom was on. And Hank took him to task an awful lot of times too. But do you have to look at the fruit of your life as the evidence that you're really saved? In other words, how are you doing? How are you living? Are you following? So it produces a problem. But let me just read this to you. It is clear from these quotes that from the commitment salvation, in other words, you're saved if you commit. The viewpoint there is that Jesus' words are actually as much as a warning against presumption. In other words, you think you're saved. But it's a warning. If you're not following, you're not really saved. To the other extreme, that if you really believe, it should be a comforting verse that you have eternal security. So is it giving me assurance of my salvation, or is this causing me to doubt my salvation? There's a problem. And you wonder, well, how in the world can you solve this problem? So I want you to take your Bible and look there in the Gospel of John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. My sermon, of course, is a lot longer than what we're going to get today because I wanted you to hear these other things. And I think it was well worth it. So I want to kind of do a, we'll kind of squeeze it down just a little bit. But here in the Gospel of John, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is what reveals what the thought is. So God is, okay, there's my thought, and the Word reveals the thought. Christ came into the Word, into the world as the Word that reveals God. He was the Word. So if He's the Word, He's the voice. And so the title of my message today is, Follow the Voice. Follow the Voice. They had asked John the Baptist, hey, who are you? I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Just a voice. Well, Jesus, when He came, He had a few words to say from the Father. And so as He spoke, there's many things that He said, and people were to hear and to believe. So you look there in verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Now look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh. The Word is going to speak. And when you hear the Word, it's supposed to tell you what to do. So you follow the voice. What does the Word tell us to do? Now, don't turn there right now, but in the book of Matthew in chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus had come up on the disciples and He said, follow Me and I will save you and give you eternal life. Is that what He said? No, He says, follow Me and I will make you a fisher of men. So you can follow Christ and get something different. All depends on what He's telling you. So when He tells them something, that's the voice. Follow the voice. What does the voice tell you to do? Over and over again, you'll find these words mentioned. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because God is going to say something, and He'll tell you what to do. Follow the instructions. Hear the Word. Follow the voice. So it's important that you know that. Now, when you get into the book of Revelation in the first several chapters, especially 2 and 3, you'll find it mentioned over and over again. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you have ears to hear, I got something to say. And in all seven churches, He told them something a little different. Because not all of them had the same problem, but they all had a problem. And He would tell them what to do. So they were to hear. He that hath ears, let him hear. Because the voice has something to say. He is the Word. He came into the world. Now the purpose of the book of 1 John is found over there toward the end of the book when it says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So the purpose of the book is really for soul winning. To explain how you can have the free gift of everlasting life. So this is mentioned throughout the book. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, when He says, come unto Me and deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Now, do you believe that to be saved, which is by grace, means you don't earn it, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it, you don't do anything. It's a gift of God. When He says, deny yourself, When he says, take up your cross, follow me, would you think that's for salvation or for service? Can you figure this out? If he's asking you to do something other than trust him to go to heaven or for eternal life, he might be talking about service. You see, keep it separate. Salvation, service. Salvation is always the issue is grace versus works. Is salvation by grace or is it by works? Because it can't be by both. Now, when you talk about serving, well, then you're talking about chastening, rewards. God's either going to chasten you because of your disobedience or reward you because of your obedience. But that's separate than this. So when I hear the voice of God telling me to do this to be saved, I follow that voice. I obey the voice. What did he tell me to do to have eternal life? What does he tell me to do on how to serve the Lord? Well, then deny myself. Okay, I got to do that if I want to be his disciple and to follow him. If I want to serve him. So I have to listen to the voice. What does the voice tell me to do? There are different things he tells us in his word about various things, and I'm to listen on every one of those various things. But they're not all on how to get to heaven. They're not all on service. They're not all on the gospel. You have to look at the context and see what's he talking about. And when you do, it will help you. There's even a verse that makes this statement in the book of Mark chapter 5 and verse 37 where he told his disciples, and he only picked Peter and James and John, and he says he suffered no man to follow him but them. Now, if you have to follow Christ to be saved, you know, follow him in your life, well, he's told them nobody could follow him, and he permitted nobody to follow him at this one point except Peter, James, and John. So if that's the case, I could use that verse to say, see, nobody can be saved except Peter, James, and John. They're the only ones who get to go to heaven because they're the only ones he would permit at this one point to follow him. But that's not the point of that scripture. He wasn't talking about that. Now, I want you to take your Bible and look in the book of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John in chapter 5. John chapter 5, and you'll notice in verse 24. John 5, 24. And you'll notice it says several times to hear his word or hear his voice. See there in verse 24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So he says here he would give eternal life, everlasting life to those that would hear his word and believe. I heard, I believed, I get eternal life. So that means that other verses can't contradict this. It can enhance it, enlighten it, you know, a supplement to it, but you can't annul the statement. He that heareth, follow the voice. What did the voice say do? The voice says, believe on him, to trust him, and you could have everlasting life. But you notice it didn't say here that I had to follow him. Because when you hear the word and you obey the word, you followed the instructions. You're following the voice. And it is so important that people learn this. Christ came into the world. He is the light of the world. And we're supposed to follow the light. Listen to his voice. Look what he says here in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall, and hear those three words, hear my voice. Hear the voice. And there's going to be a resurrection. But there's going to be a resurrection, as he mentioned down here in verse 28. Look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall, and you ought to underline these three little words, hear his voice. Whenever they hear his voice, something is going to happen. This is not to be saved, and this is not to follow him. This is to come from the dead. Now, some will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and some will stand at the great white throne judgment. But you see, the context has to be understood. And so, those that have done good is those who have believed on Jesus Christ. Those that have done evil is those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And that's explained in John chapter 3 and verse 18, 19, 20, and so forth. Where he says, there's some who will not come to the light. Come to the light because their deeds are evil. See, when you hear the voice, you come to the voice. When you see the light, you come to the light. Jesus is the light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that heareth my word and believeth what you heard. Well, what did you hear? What did the word say do? Christ is the word. He's the voice that we're supposed to listen to. I don't listen to Mohammed and Confucius, and I don't listen to anybody else. I follow Christ. Doesn't mean I obey him all ears. I'm talking about I follow Christ. Of all the religious leaders in the world, this is the one that I have. It's Christ. Now, something else that I want you to see here. Look there in chapter 6 and verse 29. Chapter 6, verse 29. It says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. So, why is the Gospel of John written? That you and I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing we may have life through his name. The purpose is so that we could have the free gift of everlasting life. I don't believe that he's going to give it to us as a free gift all the way, and then when you get to chapter 10, surprise! I really didn't mean that. I told you it was free, but it's not. Do you believe Christ is able to say what he means and mean what he says? So, take your Bible and turn there to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. He uses an illustration, a simple illustration, because he is considered to be the good shepherd. And then we have other scriptures talks about he is the great shepherd. In Hebrews, great shepherd of the sheep. And then in Peter, he's talking about the chief shepherd. So he knows a little bit about being a shepherd. But he uses it as an illustration about a shepherd and sheep. No, talking about you and I are not real sheep. We probably act like sheep. You know, sheep are pretty dumb. You know, sheep don't have it within themselves to guide themselves. Jeremiah says that. It is not within man that walketh to direct his steps. But notice what he says here in chapter 10. And look in verse 3. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep, hear those three words, hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So the shepherd can just speak. And the sheep follow the voice. They follow the voice. And he uses it as an illustration is, I'm a shepherd. I'm a good shepherd. And I'm even willing to lay down my life for the sheep. I have the power to lay it down, the power to take it up. He makes a statement in verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. They know his voice. They know his voice. He also makes a statement in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, he's talking to some hard-headed religious leaders, and they will not listen to what he has to say. They don't believe his words. They believe not. So he's using an illustration about people that will not hear the voice of the shepherd. He said, because you're not his sheep. And the reason you're not hearing, Christ said, my voice, because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Don't take automatically that the word follow me means they live for me. Now, what he's talking about? He's talking about those who hear the voice, come to the voice, recognize, what does the voice want me to do? What does the word want me to do? And if you'll notice, it makes a statement there in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. And he says, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. They know me, I know them. So he says in verse 16, he says, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The voice, the voice, the voice. He that heareth what I have to say. And you follow that all the way through these scriptures. Now, I believe that if God wanted to say something about service, well, he could very easily. And he did. Now, after this, and I want you to jump over there with me. I want you to see another verse where he talks about in chapter 12. Look there in John chapter 12. And notice the difference of what he's talking about. When he's talking to his disciples about serving, he talks about why they need to die. And he tells them why he had to die. That he was like a kernel of corn. And he says, it abides alone. But if it die, you plant it, you can get a whole stalk and some ears of corn. Get a whole bunch more. So he says here in verse 23, And Jesus answered them and said, The hour is coming, the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So now we're talking about a different situation. We're talking about bringing forth fruit. So he says in verse 25, He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world and shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, now he's talking about something different from salvation. Talking about service. You say, well, how do you know that? I'll show you. I knew you wanted to know. Look in verse 26. If any man, what's that next two words? Serve me. Serve me. Let him do what? Follow me. So when he's talking about service, he's using follow me in a different aspect. If you want to be honored, serve me, follow me, and God will honor you. Look what he says here in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So now we're talking about being honored by the Father. We're talking about you serving Him. And yet there's the words, follow me. So you find out, what does the voice say? He speaks. You'll even find in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come to the waters. The water's free. But what does the voice say? Do what the word says. So when you talk about how to get to heaven, what does the word of God say about getting to heaven? Well, follow that. Believe that. When it talks to us about how to raise our children, well, listen to the voice. God's word tells us. Follow the voice. Follow his word. Can't you hear him speaking? When you want to know what to do about husband and wife situations, follow the voice, the word. God speaks on every issue. Just find out, what is he talking about? So I followed his directions on this, and I followed his directions on this, and I followed his directions on this. But if I'm talking about how to get to heaven, I need to follow the directions. What did he tell me to do to be saved? Now go back there to the book of John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, I want you to look now down in verse 27. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. So if he gives you eternal life because you follow, you had to hear his voice. What did he say do? What did the voice tell you to do to have eternal life? Believe on me. Receive me. as many as received him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth hath everlasting life. So this verse can't contradict those verses. This verse simply says the same thing those other verses say. And the only way you get to be one of the sheep is that you hear the voice. And you followed the voice and you did what the voice said, do. Come to me. And you notice what he says here in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. If this is talking about serving God, then that means that you can't get the free gift of everlasting life until you followed. And what would be the advantage if you have to wait till you die for him to give you the free gift and say, you're in my hand and no man can pluck you out of my hand? What's the value of that? If that's at the end of life, now I'm in heaven anyway. It's because you can know it now. I know now I have eternal life, and I know now nobody can pluck me out of his hand. I already have eternal life. I got that 53 years ago. I heard what he said. If I would trust him, I would have as a free gift everlasting life. But look what he says here. I want you to see this. So look there in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Now, do you think Christ is busy trying to make people question and doubt, or can he speak plainly? This is what he said. He said, if thou be the Christ, speak plainly. If you are the Christ. Jesus answered them, I told you. And see these next words? Ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believed not. Because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You don't hear my voice. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I've already told you. I gave you my voice. I told you who I am. I told you what I came to do. You don't believe me. Therefore, you're not my sheep. Who is his sheep? Those who do believe. So when you believe on Jesus Christ, you have the free gift of everlasting life. And look down in verse 28. And I give unto them what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. That means now or in the future. You can never perish in the future. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, all this is talking about, will you or will you not believe? Look all the way down in verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But you're not looking and you're not listening. That's why you don't hear what I'm saying. I told you what to do. I told you who I am. But you won't believe it. You can't make people see. There are some people I can't make see. They're blind as a bat and they choose to stay that way. And don't matter how many scriptures you show them, how much light you shed, they're going to believe what they believe. Christ had to deal with that himself. Let me show you a simple illustration. Here's God. Here's the rest of us. A lot of people think that you have to get a good grip on God. If you hang in there, and you follow the Lord long enough. But if you stop following the Lord, now you done slipped away, now you're going to hell. Nah, got to get saved again. But if you do something wrong, now you're going to hell. Got to get saved again. Well, see, that's because you're going to heaven depends on you. You've got to hang in and hang on and plead and walk that straight and narrow path and earn it by your good deeds. Look how strong I am. That's why I'm going to heaven. Because, see, I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray. The gospel is, he, God, he saved me. See the difference? Now, he said he'll never cast me out. He said he won't lose me. He said that nobody can pluck me out of his hand. Who's the Savior? He is. He is taking me to heaven. I'm not trying to get to heaven. Not for 53 years. Why? Because he's taken me. And he said he'll never cast me out. That's how I know I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven whenever I die. So whenever you read this, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What did the voice tell me to do? Believe on Christ. Listen to what he said. And I give unto them eternal life. He, in John chapter 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth hath everlasting life. They say exactly the same thing. There is no difference. Now, when you go over there to chapter 12, he says, if any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. Different subject. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. If you're here this morning and you maybe have never trusted Christ as your Savior, did you hear what I said? Did you listen? Did you hear the voice? The voice says you cannot save yourself. You can't even help save yourself. When Christ died, he died to pay for your sins, all of them. And the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is believe he did it for you. Isn't that simple enough? You can handle that. You can do that. But see, even when Christ himself told the people that, they did not believe. And you can sit here and you can hear what I'm saying and not really hear and never trust the Lord. And you'll think you're going to heaven depends upon you going to church and you living a good life, and you don't get it. Christ died for our sins. It's a gift. It's totally free. And if you accept Christ right now as your Savior, God will give you right now eternal life, and you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, if you've never trusted Christ, would you do it right now? Would you just, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you just to slip your hand up, but I just want to know if what I said made sense to you. I'd like to have prayer for you. And I do it with heads bowed and eyes closed because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I just want to know, did what I say make sense to you? And if it does, will you trust Christ right now as your Savior? Will you trust him to take you to heaven whenever you die? If you will, would you slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Anyone at all before we close? Anyone at all? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're God's child, you have eternal life, you're going to heaven. Does God want us as his children to follow him? Yes, there's a lot of things God wants us to do to serve him. But we're not serving God to get to heaven. And if you don't serve God, you still go to heaven because the salvation was not conditional. It was a gift, totally free. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the free gift of everlasting life. And we also thank you, Lord, for these college kids. I ask your blessings upon each one of them. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us some more because we want to teach and train them how to love you and how to walk with you, how to serve you. And we're just thankful for these that you've given us. Bless each one here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.